Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the show. Can you tell I'm dehydrated? Maybe I'm hungover. I partied with billionaires this weekend. South Carolina, home of Dawson's Creek. I think that's where Dawson's Creek was filmed. Somebody's got a creek out there, and there's kids fingering each other in it. I never watched the show, but I'm a big James Van Der Beek and Josh Jackson fan. Josh Jackson, fun fact, we'll put his picture up right here. Josh Jackson, we all know him from Mighty Ducks. If you don't, you know, be younger. But he's gone on to have an illustrious career as an actor on so many shows. He's usually on shows where he's getting cheated on or he's cheating on. So he's that guy that's like right in the middle where you root for him either way. You're like, oh, I wish he wasn't getting cheated on. But then when he's cheating, you're like, he deserves to get to fuck right now because his marriage sucks. So he's paved out a nice career for himself. Speak of the devil, Josh Jackson. Just kidding. He's like, stop talking about me. Or he just texts back, quack, quack. So I was in South Carolina doing a corporate gig for a company called Sheets. They did a big charity golf tournament, and they usually have athletes come and speak and do a Q&A. And they had John Elway and Dan Marino, who are hilarious. And so they decide to mix it up and have a comedian come through. And so here comes old Jew face walking through the doors. Corporate, private gigs, however you slice it up, are tough. Any comedian will tell you, you're not set up to fail, because it was in a nice little ballroom thing. There was about 400 people there. Mostly dudes. I walked in, I was like, hey, can we get some more fellas up in here? That got a good laugh just right out of the gate. There was a sign that said, beware of alligators crossing, which I thought was interesting. And then it said, it's mating season. And so I said, man, guys, I was already coming in, you know, ego boosted from having a good hair day. And now you're telling me these gators might try to fuck me? Got a decent laugh. Just breaking the ice. Trying to let them know, hey, this is what the show is going to be loosely attached to. Then I started razzing and roasting some of the employees. One in particular, who is the grandson of the guy who started the whole Sheets company. Sheets is kind of like a high-end AM/PM meets Bucky's gas station. They got snacks, they got booze, they got rubbers, they got cigs. It's a one-stop shop, and they value the way that they hire employees. They value what they do for the communities. They donate a lot of money to a lot of good organizations, and they do a lot of good. And they pride themselves on something called TCF, Total Customer Fuck you. No, total customer focus. And so that's all about eye contact and you know, commitment to the moment and dedication and perseverance and all this stuff that meathead bodybuilders who have, you know, abs on their tits will preach about. That's what Sheets is all about. Doing right by the customer. So I want to do right by them because they hired me and paid me well to come out and make them laugh. And they mixed it up from Dan Marino to Adam Ray. Naturally, that's what happens. Marino bombed so hard, they're like, we got to lighten it up. Get this guy who dressed up like Dr. Phil. That actually is how they found me. So get out there. It's about an hour from Charleston. Never been to Charleston. Shout out. That's where my boy Adam Devine is at, currently shooting Righteous Gemstones. Beautiful, beautiful. Countryside feels like Forrest Gump vibes, you know what I'm saying? Deep South, a lot of green, a lot of lakes, a lot of ponds, a lot of gators, a lot of people. Hey, I tell you what, I'll smoke some American spirits, get some nice ice cold lemonade, and to talk to my daughter's friend. You know, not like that unless she's into it. You know, everyone's just trying to go about their day, live it up, YOLO every corner of the evening. So Drive an hour to Kiowa Island. Sounds fancy, because it is. And the hotel's called The Sanctuary, which, you know, for me, Sanctuary, I know that to be where kangaroos and koalas hang out at in Brisbane, Australia. But this is a hotel that's got children and drinks and a nice spa. Man, the steam room sauna combo was on point. You never like going to a spa where the steam room sauna, you have to like wait and turn it on or it's broken. There's some sign up that says don't jizz in there. There's always a ton of rules and a ton of problems that need fixing. Nah, not this place. Sanctuary came correct. I walk in, there was a girl named Zelda. Why do I remember that? Because her name was fucking Zelda. One of the best Nintendo games of all time. One of the sweetest gals I've met in Kiowa Island. And I walk in and Zelda goes, you know what? We're closing at 4:00. That's in an hour. Why don't you mosey on in there? She said mosey because she's from the South. Into the steam room sauna combo and enjoy yourself. But remember, no jizzing. She didn't say that, but it was implied. I pop back and forth, steam, sauna, steam, sauna, sauna, steam, steam, sauna, sauna, steam, sauna, 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 steam. Man, I was feeling good. Probably flustered and hot and dehydrated, and I was in there too long. But I get out, sweat out all my demons, and then cleaned up and went down to the showroom, and they got me some nice food from their restaurant, a little roasted chicken, little filet mignon. And then I'm sitting there, and it's packed. And they have a guy named Travis Sheets welcome everyone to the event, tell them about the shoot-off that happens the next day after everyone's round of golf at these beautiful courses, which I stuck around to play at. We'll get to that. And it was awesome. The intro sucked. I'll give you that. But these guys, they're you know, that's not what they do. You know, what they do is provide total customer focus. This guy Travis goes, you know, hey, tomorrow is the big shootout where 12 golfers who were the vendors that helped donate a lot of money to Sheets and who they sell to and you know, the cigarette people and Four Loko was there and Red Bull and all this. And I think I made a joke about Red Bull doesn't give you wings. It gives you palpitations and whatever. I'm hitting everything. And Travis goes, but now it's time for comedian Adam Ray. No intro, no nothing. Picture me pops on screen. Foo Fighter starts playing, which I love. And now they have to remove a giant podium from the stage and then bring my mic on stage. I'm like, this is the weirdest, most awkward lull in between announcement and me hitting the stage. So I just run up. I grab the fucking mic. It's not working. And then I just go, good night, everybody. And that got a little laugh. Song gets quiet. I take the mic out. I start getting into my act. Roasting and toasting people. And I did what I do. You know, my show is a nice blend of material, crowd work material. You know, planting seeds, weaving it all together at the end. Again, I think I've mentioned this on the pod before. The first headline show I ever saw was Patrice O'Neill at the Punchline in San Fran, which I will be at August 1st through the 3rd, San Francisco Punchline. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Patrice O'Neill, a legend, RIP. I saw him sit on a stool at the Punchline for 2 hours plus and beautifully weave material and crowd work together like I've never seen before. And I go, dude, that's what I want to do. And fuck, that's what I'm doing. That's what my show is. And it seems to me the most fun way for me and the most fun way that I would love to consume comedy if I were a spectator. So I'm doing that on stage and it's going well. I'm roasting the grandson. I'm roasting his sister who was real lippy and real boozy but affable at the same time. And we had a good time, man. And I felt good about it. And these shows, again, can be such a roll of the dice because, you know, they give you a few things to say and don't say. But I kind of had free reign. The people that booked me, shout out to Britt and Jenna and Britt's guy, Nick, who killed Tony fans and saw me doing Dr. Phil at the arena show in Austin last year, really wanted me just to do my thing, and that was great. That let me feel comfy. But you still got to read the room, man. You can't just get up there and start throwing darts. You got to, like, you know, there's some edgier things I wanted to do, but I go, it's not the place for this, man. They want to be entertained. They're here. They're after this, we're going to the bar and we're getting fucked up. And that's what happened. Show goes great. And I really took a moment at the end to kind of give them a nice shout out, give them their flowers about all the good work they're doing for kids. And I did make a comment at one point because they do this thing at the end of the year where they give 12,000 kids $200 shopping spree, underprivileged kids to go get some toys for themselves. A great move, very sweet, generous, all that. And I go, Now, I did notice you guys do that for Christmas. Do you have any Hanukkah giveaways? It's kind of silent. I go, I'll take that deafening silence as a no. So maybe next time just put a fucking menorah on the stage and let me know that you guys at least recognize the members of the tribe. I did say, I go, I used to write letters to Santa. And he wrote me back one year. He said, aren't you a Jew? And I'm not sure if it was Santa, because there was no, it didn't even sign his name. It could have been our anti-Semitic neighbor that just was trying to just make small talk. But yeah, that was an interesting moment, but they giggled through it. And then we wrapped it up. I gave them their flowers and we went out and got fucking hammered, dude. I was running on fumes, but I think sweating out all the demons from the spa sauna combo really got me rested. And I think the adrenaline from knowing that I did my job and I didn't just, you know, collect the check made me want to stick around and hang. And then they were all so sweet, and there were tons of people that were there that were fans that were, you know, chumming it up, and then others that were, you know, I never heard of you, and, you know, it's, which is always funny. I never take it personally. I'm like, well, great, hopefully new fan now. And sometimes I'll throw it back. If they do say it in a condescending way, sometimes I'm like, well, I've never heard of you either, man. So, you know, this is perfect. You know, and they're like, okay. And so we had a good time. There was a guy named Ray that was turning like 72. And I tried to get a round of shots for everybody in the room, which would have been like 400 people. And one of the staff shut it down. And I looked at this kid, Adam Sheets, who was the grandson of the company. And a real stoic guy, kind, but definitely not awkward, but just I don't think was planning on having any sort of back and forth with the comedian. And so he took it all in stride, took it on the chin. And at one point I was like, shots for everybody. Everybody went nuts. Which, you know, I've done that a few times on the road. I think you have seen that clip of the 42 lawyers that walked out of my show in D.C. at the Improv. Well, check it. It's on YouTube. It's an amazing 7 to 8 minute clip. And I end up buying the whole room shots, about 375 people. So I was down to do that again. I was like, fuck it. Take it out of my check. Let's rip it up. You guys, I think I even said, I was like, I don't know what you have planned, but we need to get the morale and the energy up in this room, because I've noticed the small talk already. It's like, no, Craig's over here from Reynolds, and it's been a profitable year, but we're trying to take things up a notch in the new year, as they say, and try to really turn the corner and get even. Oh, thank you. Now it's I shaved the stash and left just the bottom goatee part. It's, my wife does like. I was like, guys, none of you are fun based on what I've heard and what I'm looking at. You're all different versions of Warren from the game Guess Who. So let's fucking have some cocktails, rip it up. And go escape whatever it is that you're doing Monday through Friday. And the gal for the event was like, it's not happening. And then I looked at this kid, Adam Sheets, and I go, dude, be a hero. Take out daddy's card and pay for the whole kit and caboodle. And he laughed. Everybody laughed. Didn't happen. But we went out after and got shots. And this guy, Ray, who was turning, I think, 71, 72, came up, gave me a shot. That was one of probably 7 shots I took over the next 3 hours. I was fucking hammered. I didn't have anything to eat, really, before then. And so I was like, dude, there's no way there's Uber Eats out here. I'm in the boonies, dude. I'm in Crocodile Dundee 2, even Dundeer. And I went out there hoping that there'd be something to munch on. Gift shops closed. Room service is closed. Always closes at 11. Got to figure that out. Hey, figure that out. Hey, keep it open the whole time. Hey, people always need food. What the fuck are you doing closing? We don't need a filet at 2 in the morning. What I do need is some mac and cheese, some chicken tenders, some chips and salsa, a burger, a fucking PB&J. Get Gloria to stay up an extra hour and make a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And you're a 5-star hotel. But when you close at 11, you're racist. Because you're like, oh, blacks and Jews don't get Alfredo pasta past 10:45. So guess what? Uh-oh, pa-pa-pa Pizza Hut was open. Ordered 2 pizzas, fell asleep, and say with me, did not eat them, which was probably for the best, dude, because I was probably going to put my dick inside the pizza box and just let the cheese, you know, comfort me, little dick pillow, and pass out, maybe pass away. I was drunk. I was very drunk. I hadn't been that drunk in a hot minute, but I felt good. And the food probably would have put me into a different stratosphere. Woke up the next morning, golfed on a course called the Ocean Golf Course in Kiawa Island. Rich people houses all along the beach, all along the course. We saw gators. One of my balls landed in front of a gator, Happy Gilmore style. Did not get the ball. Left it. Walked close to the gator just for like a pick opportunity. The hair on the back of my neck and on the front of my pubes stood up. Everything stood up. All my pubes were like, whoa, hey, gator man, what the fuck are you doing? And so left the ball, didn't want my my mittens bit off, Chubb style, shout out, RIP. I forget that actor's name from Happy Gilmore. Oh, dude, classic actor. Anyway, that was terrifying. Saw a woman giving a blowjob on a balcony. I'm telling you, man, rich people, when they live on swamps, near the beach, near golf courses, and they have balconies, balcony blowjobs, great band name, also one of rich people's favorite pastimes. Poor people love baseball. Rich people love balcony blowjobs. Clip it. The golf course was amazing. We had a great time. First five holes, hey, man, felt pretty good. That's what she said. But also, first few drives, dude, swing was there, kept my head down, and felt like I was going to hang with the boys from Reynolds. I think we had Tony, Dan, Mike, and Brian. Shout out. Dude, by the way, I am getting really tapped in with remembering people's names. I started this probably 7-8 years ago at the airport, realizing that, oh, connecting not just on the stage with people when I do crowd work, but off the stage in real life goes a long way. Ask someone's fucking name or just look at their name tag at the airport and how's your day going, Pam? The fact that you know their name catches them off guard, and 8 out of 10 times it adds a lot of, it just speeds up the rapport process. If you just stand there in silence, man, that is honestly awkward for me. Some people need it. Some people enjoy the awkwardness. Some people just don't want to make small talk. And I totally get that. There's no requirement to be a social human being. There should be, because you'd get a lot more out of life and every moment. So when you chum up a stranger, they're more apt to want to step up to the plate or step up to the streets for you. So I did that with these fellas. You know, I do it obviously in my shows, and they were all great golfers. I mean, they were ripping the shit out of the ball. And then finally I just tapped out on the last two holes and then went back and had a few cocktails with the rest of the troops, and MC'd their little $20,000 drive off. 12 people, again, these vendors from Red Bull, Four Loko, Pepsi. They all went down to the beach and got one shot to get as close to the flag as possible without going over. And some kid named Eddie Williams from Hershey won $20,000, college kid. Mustache barely coming through. Looks like he brushes his teeth twice a week. There was a girl named, I think, Dana Jones. How do I remember these fucking names, dude? Kids, you can't smoke pot and have a short-term memory. Yeah, I'm fine. So Dana Jones walks up, no shoes. I'm on the mic. You know, I'm razzing everybody as they go up. I go to this one guy, Bobby. I go, Bobby cuts his own hair. Fun fact. You know, this guy's got 2 laptops. This guy says his own name when he comes. And then I'm like, oops, there's kids here. You know, kids come is, you know. And then I go, you'll learn about it in a couple of years. And then Dana Jones goes up there with no shoes. And I go, anyone who's got a foot fetish, this is your pick to win. And then I made a call back to the Adam Sheets kid, the grandson of the guy who owns the company. He wasn't there, but got recognized by a couple fans on the beach. That was cool. One woman was like, while they were figuring out who won, she goes, tell us some more jokes, funny man. And I almost turned around and like really roasted her on the mic, but I just, you know, put it down and I was like, they're trying to figure out the winner. I don't want to get in the way or whatever. But it was really, I think the first time in a while that I've been on the receiving end of, tell us some jokes, funny man. But this bitch was fucked up on the beach, enjoying her vacay. She was sprawled out. I mean, Her bathing suit didn't fit, so I already was giving her benefit of the doubt, you know? And she was sprawled out in a way that was like, oh, she was probably driving home or staying at the on the hotel grounds, but she was sweet about it. I think she just wanted to be entertained. She was loving it. She didn't think that she was going to have entertainment during her vacay at that point on that day on the beach. So I get it. So that was a great time. Now, this all, by the way, again, shout out to Sheetz and all you do. Had a great time. Hope to see you again. Maybe bring me out for a Dr. Phil appearance. I don't know. Will it cost you more? We'll figure it out. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Today's episode is sponsored by Bespoke Post. Well, spring is just around the corner. Time flies. It does, Grandpa. The best box you'll open all month, that's what she said, is the Bespoke Post seasonal lineup of must-have Box of Awesome collections. What's in the Box of Awesome? Well, carefully chosen gear from the best brands all around the world. What did I get? Well, I got a cocktail smoking and infusion kit. I got a hoodie. I got an axe. And I got a nice suitcase. A duffel bag. What catches your eye? Well, all the stuff that they got is for you. You can drink and eat more awesome. You can dress and travel more awesome or explore more awesome with the Box of Awesome that has you covered this spring, well into summer and the fall. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. That's right, you. It's free to join, and they release a new item every month across a ton of different categories. And look, when you become a member, you'll have access to stellar discounts across a plethora of products. I don't use plethora that often because it sounds like something that's inside your urethra, but it actually refers to a bunch of products that are awesome, right? We're talking 30% off or more sometimes. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses, and that's always good. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small, up-and-coming brand. It's free to sign up. You can skip a month or cancel anytime. All right? There's no press. Just start feeling better and looking better and tasting better. That's what she said. Get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the promo code ALN at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code ALN for a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment. Boxofawesome.com, promo code ALN. Do it. Talked to some interesting people. Got into a political debate with one of the fellows. Oh, really? An old white rich conservative guy was in South Carolina? And that got a little testy. We were throwing him back. We had just taken a shot of tequila. I don't even know how he brought up, like, I think, you know, a lot of people want to ask a comedian, dude, how do you even go up right now? Dude, how do you even talk? How do you even say what you want on stage without feeling like you're going to be fucking canceled, dude? I mean, you can't even say the N-word, can you? Well, no, you can't. And you shouldn't. And just the fact that you said that lets me know everything I need to know about you. But, you know, I don't feel like I'm where I'm at. I'm not trying to actively push the envelope. I talk about what interests me, and I try to make it as funny always wins. And I think everybody can attest to that who's on stage consistently. Funny always wins. It's also intent and purpose. If you're doing an edgier bit, you know, even, you know, some of these edgier topics are, it's all subjective, right? When there are school shootings and people make jokes, I don't find that funny, but that's me. But, you know, even if I don't laugh, I could be like, oh yeah, I'm at a point where I'm savvy enough to be like, I get the joke, I get what they're doing. Just for me personally, I get really affected by those things. And I also go out of my way to look at pictures of the kids and the victims. And so I get, you know, overly invested to where I can't find anything funny about it. Now, people that are not doing that can maybe see it just on the surface and then be able to separate and make a joke and feel compelled to even do that for whatever reason. To each his own. It's not worth griping and getting up in arms about, because that's the other thing that I told this guy before I walked away, when he was like, dude, Hunter Biden just is like, that's, I was like, yeah, and Trump's, I mean, it's crazy. They're both crazy. It's old and tired versus old and evil. And you know, take your pick. But obviously for me, I don't know. It's just, one guy wants to fuck, I think would love to hit a button and kill most of us and have him and his daughter. And he'd love to go fuck his daughter and take his tall, fucking stupid son and go, you know, over to Epstein's Island and open up a Dave and Buster's. I don't know. There's one guy that wants to do that, and there's another guy that is probably maybe not with it enough. So it's like, well, yeah, what are you? The options do suck. But he was just really going hard in the paint on, like, how do you find the balance of doing what you want to do. And I'm like, well, I don't think people should be allowed to say to you what you can and can't say. But what you have the right to do is to like something or not like it. And at the core of it, that really is it. And it's not too much more complicated than that. If you don't like something, don't look at it. If you don't think something's funny, turn it off, man. But you don't get to, it should be illegal to tell someone, I don't think that's funny. You can say that. Because again, freedom of speech. And when people come up to me after shows and go, I didn't like your bit about whatever, I go, cool. I'll take it out. Thank you so much for your feedback. Cool. Then I'm assuming then you didn't laugh at it. I did not. Great. Sounds like you did exactly what a person would do that didn't like something. You wouldn't show your admiration or enjoyment towards that thing. If I saw Goofy beating a fucking tiny Latino man at Disneyland with his giant Goofy shoe, bad example, I would laugh. I would laugh very hard. I'd go, holy shit, what transpired and led to the guy dressed as Goofy to take his fucking Goof shoe off and beat the fuck out of Pedro? But then I would also be like, that's fucked up. You know, is someone getting that? Okay, send me the link. But that's fucked up, and I don't support that. I don't support violence, especially on especially on someone who paid hard-earned money to take their family to Disneyland. They expect they're not going to get beaten down in front of their family by a famous theme park character. I digress. If you don't like some, hey man, leave it at that. I don't like that. Cool. Whatever happened to taking it to the grave? You don't have to say everything you fucking think, dude. You can keep some stuff in your head and not say it out loud. 25 minutes in, dude. I feel like I didn't even take a breath. But, you know, I was jamming. I had a little bit of a game plan when I came in. I go, I'm going to talk about this and this and this. But I didn't really think about it. And I really kind of dig that way of doing these solo eps. Just fucking off the dome. I knew I wanted to talk about those moments and those events. But I also wanted to kind of let my brain go, well, dude, if this was that memorable and important, you'll fucking remember it and bring it to the forefront and say it into the mic. Now, before South Carolina, I went up to Seattle for 2 days because I went to Boyz II Men. I went to a Boyz II Men concert with my sister, my brother-in-law, Dirte, and two of my best friends, Adam French and Colin Sullivan. Shout out. Sean Stockman, who I've gotten to know, met him at the Wayne Brady Show. He did the podcast. Check out Sean Stockman's episode of the About Last Night podcast. It's one of the best episodes. My boy Adam French said him and his wife Kim listened to it on a drive up and just said it was, you know, who isn't a fan of Boyz II Men? If you're not a fan of Boyz II Men, delete my number and go fuck yourself. So, and not in that order. It was incredible to have a voice that's still intact 30 years later and sounds just like it did 30 years ago, if not better, is wild. And Nate and Wanye and Sean of Boyz II Men played the Muckleshoot Casino in Auburn, Washington, and took an early flight, landed, went straight to my sis in Dirte's house, played front yard baseball with my nephew Jackson for about 3 hours. The kid is a beast. He's a beast, man. I was throwing him meatballs and he was hitting homer after homer. Then he started throwing me these bullshit way outside pitches. I was like, you suck. And I was like, I will shove you into the fence. So, I didn't say that, but I thought that because he was pushing my patience, but I love the kid, dude. He's so sweet. I think I've told this before. His voicemail is this. You call it and it goes, oh shit, they're coming. Oh shit, I gotta go. Fuck, they're almost here. Oh God, they're gonna get me, fuck. To leave a voice message, press 1. That's a 9-year-old boy's voicemail. I digress. Played some front yard baseball. Adam and Colin show up. I organized a car service for us so none of us had to drive. We brought a cooler, we bought booze. We drank on the drive because it was an hour and 20 minutes to Auburn. We get there. Only had 4 tickets instead of 5. I fucked up. Hit up Sean 20 minutes before showtime, which I did not want to do, but desperate times call for desperate measures. He gets right back, takes care of it. We're all good. We're 2 rows back. It's awesome, dude. They came out. They're ripping it. Played a hit 2 songs in. I saw Pearl Jam last night at the Kia Forum, and they were incredible. Holy shit. You want to talk about keeping your voice intact? Eddie Vedder, I mean, just when he sang, listen to the stand of life, just did I say that I love you? Oh, did I say that I want you? Oh, did I do that? I did it. Whoa. No one in this more than me. And I don't think I turned it out of hand. And I'm on the phone to Phantom. Yes, I understand that a life must end. Oh. Dude, I'm just sobbing. Might have been the edibles, but the guy's voice. It's like butter, dude. Eddie Vedder has one of the greatest voices of all time because it doesn't sound like any voice you've ever heard before. I'd throw Celine Dion in there. I'd throw Phil Collins in there. I'd throw Dave Matthews in there. I'd throw fucking Stevie Wonder in there. I'd definitely throw Michael Jackson in there. Pre-kid touching. I wouldn't throw Diddy in there. You know why? You know why, dude. Check the game tape, baby. Ho-ho. I'm not going to talk about that. You know what? I am for a second. Wow, dude. I mean, look. I threw a pillow at an ex-girlfriend once. I threw a pillow. A tiny pillow. It was fucking so soft and fluffy that when it came up very short of from her, she started laughing and I started laughing and I think we had makeup sex. We were also like in Kansas City. We were at a friend of hers, bachelor party combo, and a guy she used to date was there. So I was already just like, dude, she was flirting with him. Not too bad. He was flirting harder. So it was almost like, I'm either going to fight him or throw a pillow at you. And I did that, which I should have just fought him, but that would have been, yeah. So anyway, so everyone gets frustrated in relationships. It's a part of life. It's a part of being a person. We all get fucking riled up and you're like, dude, you know, well then fuck you, you know, but you leave, man, you leave, you let your stress simmer down, you let your emotions not get the best of you, you gain control of the moment. Diddy, P. Diddy, Puffy, Sean Combs, Sean Puffy Combs, pick a name, you fucking abuser. This is the problem. Maybe he's changing his name every 15 minutes so that people don't track his Facebook page. I don't know. There's probably a more thought-out response to what I saw, but it was alarming, to say the least. I mean, dude, what a scary thing to be a woman and be in a relationship. You know what? Let me just stop it there. What a scary thing to be a woman. I don't think we as fellas take into account enough. I mean, I'll go down these TikTok rabbit holes of people getting kidnapped, or like I saw one the other day where of people, guys and gals, but mostly gals, of coming home and the Ring cam captures them right before they close the door. Some fucking psycho that's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs comes around the corner and sticks his hand or something in the door and then comes in and attacks them. That is terrifying. And now I don't want my wife to leave the house ever. I won't let her leave. I won't let her poop. So that is just how it is going to be moving forward. But Cassie Ventura was trying to escape. Hey, man, let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Don't beat her in the hallway of the hotel. Grabbed her head. Yank, bro, it's awful. If you haven't seen it, don't watch it. It's just the exact thing to not do to a woman. Anyway, Boys to Men. Hey. Unreal. Unreal. Dirté loved him. Dirté is a hardcore rapper. He loved him. He was like, dude, they sound incredible. And they did. And Sean threw a rose to my sister. I was singing I'll Make Love to You fucking real hard. He was fucking, he kept looking at us and throwing us love. And he, at one point he was like, do this with me. And then we would do it. And they look over. He's like, come on, Adam. I know you can do this. He was giving me shout outs during the show. We went backstage after, talked with him and Wanye. And he was just so cool, man. And we ripped it up. And he said at one point, my sister goes, is it different singing the songs 30 years later? He goes, great question. Yeah. You know, the songs even now, and they mean something different to people. They mean something different now than they do 30 years later. I go, dude, I'll Make Love to You for me, when I heard it in eighth grade, was about the girl I had a crush on in math class. And now it's when I'm high as fuck and I'm talking to the piece of pizza that I'm about to deep throat. And he laughed, and my buddy Colin goes, nice, nice, all right, you got it in, all right. great show. Can't recommend Boys to Men enough. Can't recommend Boys to Men enough. If you want to go see a show and you want to just be entertained for an hour and 40 nonstop, because they got so many hits. And then they did a few covers, a Bruno Mars cover, an MJ cover, I think a Stevie Wonder cover. They did beautiful renditions of covers. And then they've got some old school stuff. Just a lot of fun songs, man. The energy's up. It's awesome, dude. Throwing roses out during I'll Make Love to You is a very cool move. But it's also, dude, it's like a Nickelback mosh pit, dude. Dirtay pushed my sister up and was like, go get that rose. And she went up there, and then she felt like two people pushed her in the back. I think somebody bit her. And then she just was like, and I'm out. And then she retreated back to our seats, and then Sean saw her and was like, fucking tossed her a rose. I was like, that's my fucking sister, dude. No. And she loved it. We all loved it. Took the car back. Woke up the next morning and took my niece to go to Yakima, Washington, 2.5 hours away to go see my dad at an inpatient rehab. Thank you for all the support and all the just inquiries about my dad's health. He's doing much better. He, of course, you know, took that spill coming up on 2 months ago, where he was on the ground for almost 4 days with no food and water, pissing on himself, sleeping, screaming for help, didn't have his life alert bracelet on, didn't have abilities to get up because he'd broken ribs and shoulders. Oh my. And thankfully, I text with him all the time and was like, get the wellness check going. Found him. Man, was he out of it, though. He still is struggling to put all the pieces back together, but he's way more cognizant and way more alert than he was. So now it's just about getting strong. And he's like pretty bummed about it, but he's definitely, you know, they had to put his dog down of 17 years, Sophie, RIP, blind, deaf. I mean, dude, the quality of life was not strong, but still sad. And so I think he actually kept the dog around and alive because of it was my stepmom's dog, his wife. And I think once my stepmom passed, which, by the way, I don't know if I've ever told this story. I was talking to Chris Laxamata, who's Adam Carolla's producer and sidekick on the Adam Carolla podcast. And he goes, hey, man, you want to come on the show tomorrow? And I'm like, dude, I'm chilling with my dad right now. My stepmom's on hospice. And he goes, is that a new dating app? And I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you said she's on hospice. I thought that was like a new Tinder for people on hospice. No, he thought hospice. He thought when I said hospice, it was hospice. I was like, well, she is moving on from my dad. So you're not totally wrong. Bad joke. But so I think that's why he kept on with Sophie the dog, to kind of remind him of his wife. He's doing better, trying to get strong again. That's the thing at 80. He just celebrated his 81st birthday or 80. I don't know. I thought he was 82, and I think he's just 80. But still clicking and ticking, and that's what you want. Getting your body strong shouldn't be that tough. Exercises, PT, moving and shaking. Has to use a walker for a little bit. That's fine. Little walker, Texas Ranger, never hurt nobody. But being sharp here to me is a big deal. So anyway, thank you again to anybody who reached out and asked how he was doing. It's wild, man. You know, my mom and stepdad are coming back from a trip, 75 and 81, and about to be those ages. And they're a little bit more swift and agile. But still, man, you know, I'm grinding so much right now, and it's all good in the hood. Feels fun to have this bump from a handful of different things and selling out shows on the road and being busy. And we're adding Dr. Phil live shows. We have the June 30th in Seattle at the Neptune, and then June 29th, at the Aladdin Theater, but let me see if I can announce this when it goes up. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, so when you guys get this, we've added a late show in Portland, a 10:30 show at the Aladdin. Dr. Phil Live sold out the 8 p.m. show in about 30 minutes, so we have added a 10:30 show at the Aladdin Theater, June 29th, Dr. Phil Live. I locked in the guests as of 2 days ago. All I can say is you should buy tickets to The Late Show. June 30th in Seattle at the Neptune, and then I believe we're going to be putting some more dates on the calendar for a live Dr. Phil show, Dr. Phil Live, on the road and see how that goes. Some venues are bigger than probably we should do, but fuck it, man. So again, all of that moving and shaking is great. Trying to just take care of myself, get as much rest as possible, but at the same time, hey man, YOLO, and also definitely making me more aware of, like, I don't know when the next time I'm going to drive all the way out to the boonies to see Pops, but I got to do it sooner than later. Because when he was in Salem, Oregon, I was able to parlay these Portland shows and trips out there and go see him. But now it's a little bit more of a drive. But my brother lives out there, who just graduated medical school. My brother's a doctor following in his dad's footsteps. What a crazy thing. He's going to be a family doctor. Gotta make more time for the folks. I think everybody says that. That's the one thing I hear or see when people post about losing a family member, is just like, man, hug them, spend more time with them. That is true. Unless you hate your parents. Some people hate their parents and didn't have a good relationship. And they're just like, fuck it, dude. Karma's a bitch. You know, you fucking, you know, didn't make me lunch when I was in elementary school, and now you're fucking, you know, you got hit by a bread truck. I don't know. It's everyone's story and path is different. It is wild, though. It's like, I know some people that want nothing to do with their folks, but you know that affects them, because I think everyone, you want to have some relationship with at least one parent. I felt it was almost greedy when people were like, "Oh, you sad that your folks split?" I'm like, I've reconnected with my dad, you know, really in college. You know, I'd say, yeah, when they split and I was what, 8? I'd say from 8 until about 18. Yeah, man, that was a nice 10-year gap where I didn't feel close with him. And then mom just stepped it up, and that's why she's the GOAT and put in as my hero. I've said this many times. I'll say it again. But then you just get to a point and you're like, I'd rather have a relationship than not. So I'm going to patch this up and go out of my way to stay connected. Because, again, to each his own, but for me, I don't like to have, even with some comedians out there, which I wish I could say their names, I've had some beef with a few people. It was all on their end. If you know me and you know how I operate, I don't hate anybody. I have gotten to a point where I'm pretty good at killing it with kindness and also not taking it personal. You got to get to a point to where you go, you don't got to be buds with everybody. You should be kind to everybody. That's not tough. It's not. And some people have different versions of that. When I go to the Comedy Store, I try to chum it up with everybody. If I'm running in late to a set, yeah, it might be a quick, hey, what's up? What's up, Coop? You know, what's up, Logan? Whatever, you know. But try to chum it up with people. Give them the time of day. It's weird to not. You're around so much. Why wouldn't you? But some people just in and out, man, and that's fine. There's, you know, but you can still be kind through that version of your socializing. But there is one person that I'll never say, but ooh, they grind my gears, baby. And yeah. And they're not, I don't even say they're a comic, I guess. Yeah, but they're not a good person. They've done a lot of shady shit, and they have no remorse about it. And they've talked a lot of shit. And I think that's the issue that I know about. I don't know if this person knows that I know, but man, what a bummer of a human. I'll just say that. I'll leave it at that. And you can hypothesize. I'll never say it. Maybe I'll say it. Fuck it. Who knows? You know what? I won't, because that's just... And this is also why I haven't gotten into it with said person, because I don't... It's not worth it. I think they are almost... They would get off and enjoy some sort of razzle-dazzle back and forth. Speaking of razzle-dazzle, I'm going to take this moment to announce. Next week, you'll be hearing a very big announcement, but I'm going to fucking say it right here. June 16th, my special, Like and Subscribe, will be dropping on YouTube. June 16th. Shot it at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin. June 16th, which is also, say it with me, your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. The black version of Happy Birthday is way better than the white version. Said who? Everybody in the world. It's just full of life, full of pizzazz, passion. The white happy birthday sucks the energy out of the room. Nobody can fucking sing on key. And you always forget the person's name or what version of name that we're going with, right? If it's like Rob Johnson, everyone's like, do we call him fucking Rob Ja? Is it RJ? So it gets to happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Rob. And then some people are like, RJ, you know, just fucking, you know, we just cross streams and it sucks. And no one's ever fired up. It sounds like you're singing some like weird ass backwards sacrificial, like you're going to sing that song and then push somebody off a plank on a pirate ship. That was a very specific image I just saw, but like and subscribe is the title. Based on my nephew smacking me in the balls and going, like and subscribe. I just felt like that was a catchy title. And the special was fun and upbeat, and it looks good and it sounds good. And shot by my boy Jesse, edited by my boy Jason. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. I'm very proud of it. Comedy on State, Madison, Wisconsin. Shout out for the hospitality. And June 16th, YouTube. You'll hear more in the coming weeks and see more in the coming weeks. I think there's going to be a 2-week on June 2nd. You're going to be able to buy it online before it comes out if you want early access. I was advised to do that. So that's what we're going to do. But you don't have to do that. You can wait 2 weeks. But if you are digging all the shit I'm putting up, all the free Dr. Phil stuff and all the stuff, then maybe you want to grab it early and enjoy it a couple weeks early. And if not, no hard feelings. Like and subscribe. June 16th. Mark your calendars. Of course, subscribe to the podcast at Aylin Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Adam Ray Comedy at TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. AdamRayComedy.com for all my tour dates. Holy shit. Next weekend, I'm in Chicago with Matt Rife. Heard of him? At the Chicago Theater, May 30th through June 2nd. But don't think that's the only time we'll be in Chicago. October 31st, November 1st. I'm at the Den Theater in Chicago. This fall, I'll tell you right now. I've never been there. I'm super pumped. I've never been to the Chicago Theater. Chicago is one of the best comedy cities of all time. So I'm just fired up. But I will be there with Matt. And then Chicago, November 1st, 2 shows. I think we might have added one on the 31st, though. Check the Den website. Can't wait to see you guys. But we got Tacoma, Washington coming up. I think a few of the shows are sold out. We got 3 more left that are getting close. AdamRayComedy.com for tickets. That's June 13th through the 15th. Again, we added a second show in Portland at the Aladdin Theater for Dr. Phil Live, a 10:30 show. AdamRayComedy.com for those tickets. What else? We got San Diego coming up. We got Boston coming up in July, New Jersey, Connecticut. And then we got August is filled with the Pittsburgh Improv, April 15th through the 17th. And then September is, holy shit, the Buckhead Theater, September 12th. We got Columbus, Ohio, September 13th and 14th, September 25th through the 28th in Minneapolis at the Acme Comedy Club, and September 7th, of course, at the City Winery in St. Louis, Missouri. And London. London's on sale October 23rd at the Leicester Square Theater, first time performing in London, and August 11th in New York City at the Gramercy Theater. First time there as well. All these tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Hope you guys had a great day. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a nice weekend. And we'll see you next week on the About Last Night podcast. Like and subscribe June 16th. Like and subscribe to this podcast. Of course, all the Dr. Phil episodes are on YouTube. The next one drops May 28th from the Mothership. We did 2 at the Mothership. One is already out with Tony Hinchcliffe. William Montgomery and Cam Patterson, you guys have been loving it. It's almost at 1 million views on YouTube. But the one that drops May 28th, oh baby, Harlan Williams, Brian Simpson, and Heath Cortez. Enjoy it, love it. Set your calendars, mark your calendars, set your lives. I don't know. May 28th, I believe that is a Tuesday, for the next Dr. Phil Live from the Mothership. Harlan Williams, Brian Simpson, Heath Cortez. It's going to be great. I can't wait for you guys to see it. Subscribe to my YouTube as well, right there, Adam Ray Comedy on YouTube. More shit coming. Appreciate the love. Appreciate the support. I'll see you guys on the road. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.